Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Today is Epiphany Sunday, so that's what we're going to celebrate. Epiphany is a word that means to shine upon something, so basically to reveal, right? To have an epiphany. That's when something is revealed or made known to you. Today we're going to celebrate how Jesus was revealed, made known to all people, not just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, non-Jews. And you'll see that reflected throughout the readings this morning. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, so if you are a member of our church and a member within our fellowship, we ask that you prepare your minds and your hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member, we direct your attention to a little paragraph on the inside cover of the bulletin. If you have any questions, you can talk to me about that. Well, may God bless you this morning as you worship in His name, and may the light of His glory shine upon you as we begin our worship with hymn number 80. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's pray to our Lord. Lord God, by the leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also, who know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our first lesson this morning comes from Ruth chapter 4. And if you don't know anything about the book of Ruth, it's a story about Naomi, who lost her husband and eventually lost her sons. Her daughter-in-law goes with her. Her daughter-in-law was a Moabite, so a Gentile, a non-Jew. And through God's grace, this Moabite, this non-Jew, eventually becomes an ancestor, the great-grandmother of David, and therefore an ancestor of Christ. So, Christ to all nations for sure. From Ruth chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of our Lord. We join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 72.
Thank you.
The second lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, which will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Ephesians chapter 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The word of the Lord. We speak together the verse of the day. Alleluia! We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Alleluia! Please stand for the gospel. The gospel for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. That glory indeed was revealed, as our verse of the day hinted at, by a star given to three, or maybe more, wise men who came to worship Jesus. They were from distant nations, from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star when it rose and have come to worship Him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in the light of God's gospel according to the words of a 1600 or so year old confession in the Christian church from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn number 79. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Light of God's glory from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ is yours, brothers and sisters. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from Ephesians chapter 3, like I just read. So let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare
your epiphany. Amen. My wife Heather was unpacking some keepsakes this week, and she stumbled across this one in one of our boxes. It's been stored away for a long time, so it's been a while since I've seen it. And what it is it's a present that was given to us from a friend in China just before we were about to head back. It was in one of the final Bible study sessions that we had there. And what it is, it's a set of chopsticks. And engraved on each chopstick is "Jesus loves you." And you can see even the chopstick holders that you kind of lay it down on the table, they're fishes. Like fishers of men or the Jesus fish. It was a neat gift. But inside the gift was this letter, this little note that she gave. It says, "Thank you for what you've done for us. We're lucky to have a teacher to tell us his word in all caps. Though the time we spent together was short, it is a happy memory. We'll cherish it forever. Wherever you go, whatever you do in the future, wish our Lord be with you. God bless you, Celeste." Celeste was the English name she chose for herself. But that note kind of struck me this week as I was reading it, especially one of those last phrases. "Wish our Lord be with you." It's just kind of a neat phrase, isn't it? "Wish our Lord be with you." Our Lord. I was born in Minnesota, in the United States, in North America, in the Western Hemisphere. She was born somewhere in China, in Asia, in the Eastern Hemisphere, and yet she can still say, "Our Lord be with you." And boy, did she make him her Lord. This was a Bible study that was filled with college students who had just recently come to faith. And in college in China, they give you just homework galore. And yet they were still coming to three or four Bible studies a week. This last study was during finals time. So that's how busy they were, but they didn't care. They just wanted to hear about God's word and God's grace and God's eternal plan and his gospel. Kind of gives you a good feeling inside, doesn't it? That's the Holy Spirit at work. It's the same Holy Spirit that's at work in us. And it's at work in somebody across the world in China. It gives you a good feeling, kind of in awe of God's plan. So where's that excitement and that good feeling here in Citrus Heights, California? I'm not talking about society in general. I'm talking about us. And I'm not talking about missions and evangelism. Yeah, we can talk about that too, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit at work in our brothers and sisters here in the church. We have that excitement about somebody over there. Where is it here? We have this fellowship and this unity together, and yet there are so many times that we work against that unity. And we do that in a number of different ways. Sometimes we get this idea like we're Wells Lutherans, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And it's great to have pride in your synod, especially when it has such a high view of Scripture. But sometimes with us, it can become an arrogance. Like, yes, that's us. Sometimes even when we come in contact with others, we can, I know I'm supposed to stay away from false teaching, right? And there's reasons that we do that. Okay, three reasons, three really good ones. One, we want to protect God's word. Two, we want to protect the souls in our care, others and ourselves. But then we also forget of that third one. Protect the person who is in error. We want to be able to have a conversation with them, talk with them, show them from God's word, the light of his gospel. But so often we separate. We push them away. Oh! Don't talk to them. Unclean, run away, maybe even sometimes. We think, oh, they're one of those Christians, as if we deserve a gold star, like God loves us more or something. But it's not just with Christians in other denominations. It's also with Christians in our church here as well. Maybe we might be a little hesitant to get to know somebody who has a more tainted past than we do, as if we're supposed to be perfect people here in this church. Or maybe it's a holier-than-thou type of attitude, or an attitude of I'm a longer-tenured member than thou, or giver of more money than thou type of arrogance. Sometimes we even let little sins that we commit against each other harbor this division between us. And sometimes it's not even sins. Sometimes it's just little things. There might be a situation, a plan, a purpose, or a preference going on within the church, and if somebody sees something differently than we do, we kind of put our nose up at them. Might even talk about them behind their back with somebody who's on our side. We push people away a lot of times. But we don't just do that either. Sometimes we pull ourselves away. We don't just separate them from us. We separate us from them. A lot of times we do it when our schedules and our busyness get the best of us. And we don't gather together under God's word or sharing this fellowship that we have. We let our laziness do that too. Sometimes we let this division come between us, maybe the saddest reason of all. We pull ourselves away because we feel like we don't deserve to be here. Like, I can't approach God, much less my Christians, because I don't deserve it. Your conscience festers this division. It's all division. It's all preventing unity. It's all separation. And that's what sin does. It causes separation. Us from God, us from each other, us from other Christians, it's all sin. How are you feeling right now? Are you feeling a little uncomfortable? It's because separation hurts. It's not meant to be this way. You and I, we feel this excitement and this joy of having this fellowship with somebody over in China. You know, it kind of bubbles up inside of us, and yet here, with our brothers and sisters, it often isn't there. I think we need to be refreshed in that. The Apostle Paul this morning is going to reveal a mystery to us. It's not so much of a mystery anymore, but I think if we look at it from Paul's culture and his context, it'll help us appreciate where we are and who we are. The Apostle Paul wrote this whole letter to the Ephesians with essentially one theme: the unity we have in Christ. And if you look at the history of the congregation in Ephesus, if you go to Acts chapter 19, you'll see why he writes about that. Immediately when Paul gets to Ephesus, he is opposed by the Jews, who didn't want him preaching that gospel. So he preaches it to the Gentiles, eventually gets a big following, so much so that the Gentiles who aren't believers get jealous. And so then they start a riot in the whole city. The history of division in this congregation was real and it was large. And so Paul, years later, pens this letter to celebrate the unity that these believers had. And it was a unity unlike any other. The world had never seen anything like this. It was a mystery to the world, a mystery that Paul was appointed to reveal. Paul says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." He's talking about half a chapter earlier in Ephesians 2. "In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." Okay, Paul, what is this mystery already? This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. The mystery was that the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were now one nation, one people, one church in the Lord. Like I said, it's not much of a mystery to us anymore. You look at the history of the church, and it's mostly Gentiles. Look around in this church right now, we're all Gentiles. Not much of a mystery, but back then it was huge. It was a big deal.
Huge.
This was a huge thing because the activity of salvation was all focused on the gospel, or on the nation of Israel. If you wanted to become a part of God's people, you had to come to the nation of Israel to do it. That's how you came in contact with the gospel. We call it centripetal, like centripetal force, the force that goes to the center. A Gentile would have to go to the Jews in order to become part of God's people, and it usually meant following God's laws and festivals. But now, after Christ's death, resurrection, ascension, after the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, now it totally is the opposite. Now it's centrifugal. How's that for a word? Centrifugal. Think centrifuge, a little thing that spins the test tubes around. As it spins the test tubes around, the stuff inside the test tubes goes out towards the bottom of the test tube. That's what the gospel is doing now. The direction was going out from Israel to other nations, other peoples, other cultures. And they didn't have to become a Jew. They didn't have to become an Israelite in order to do that. Now they could just be in their culture. And yet, even though they were different, they were all one. The Jews were shocked. It had never been like this before in the history of God's plan of salvation. Nothing like it before. Co-heirs, Paul says. Paul, you're saying that the Gentiles inherit heaven and eternal life just like the Jews do? Co-members of the same body? He actually coins a new term there, a brand new word. He says, literally, co-body members. Co-body members together of one people in the Lord? Co-sharers in the promise? Paul, you're saying that the Gentiles receive all of the promised blessings and everything that was focused on the Messiah. The Messiah came from the Jews. You're saying that, Paul? Yes. Co-heirs, co-body members, co-sharers in the promise, co-everything in Christ. That was the mystery that Paul was appointed to reveal. And so he did. We saw it through his work. Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. God created all things. So now it's time to reveal to everyone. It ruffled the feathers of the Jews. But notice what Paul says. It wasn't Paul. It was all God's doing. It was he was a servant. It was a gift of God's grace given to him through the working of God's power. He was the less than the least of all God's people. It was God's plan, and it was time to reveal the mystery. Why? Why now? Why reveal this mystery now? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, that's the angels, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. Why was it time to reveal this to all people, and not just them, but even to the angels? Because plan fulfilled, that's why. Separation hurts. That's what sin did between us and God. Separation hurts. So God had a plan, and he accomplished it. All of those dividing sins that we commit that divided us from God, us from each other, Jesus, wiped them out. And now, no matter who you are, as Paul says, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. No more shrinking away, pulling ourselves away from God. Oh no. Unity with God once again. In his wisdom, that's what God did for us. His manifold wisdom, his multi-sided, his extravagant, his cut and shining like a Leo diamond kind of wisdom. And it was shining now. And did you notice how it was made known? Through the church. This unity we have with God now affects us and helps us have unity with each other. It's through the church. That's us. That's us as in you, me, and some believer in China, us. That's us as in you, me, and some Christian in another denomination, us. That's us as in less tainted, more tainted, we're all tainted and need forgiveness, kind of us. That's us as in we all need each other, kind of us. That's us as in, oh no, don't you shrink away. Don't you think you don't deserve to be here. Don't you think you don't have God's forgiveness, kind of us, because we all do. Kind of us. That's us as in we now have full and free access to the Father together. So let's do so together. Kind of us. Us, we, our forgiveness, our God, our Lord, our Jesus, our gospel message, our mission. We are co-heirs, co-body members. We are co-sharers in the promise. We are co- everything in Christ. In Christ, it isn't you, it isn't me, it's we. Wherever you go, whether that's Citrus Heights, Sacramento area, wherever, even if you move to the Eastern Hemisphere, always remember it will always be we, and He will always be ours. So as a fellow believer once shared with me in a note, as I was about to move half a world away, I will now share with you who are near in this church. Wish our Lord be with you. Amen. Please stand. May the light of that grace guard your hearts and minds through faith in the one who gives us that grace. Amen. Let's now join together to sing Create in Me, found on page 9 in your bulletins. You may be seated for the offering. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, which includes David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Judy Washburn, Betty Buchholz, Matt Lewis, the cousin of Cynthia Rogers, who is recovering from surgery, Michael Bass's son, Dakota Miller, and everyone being hit with the flu. It seems to be going around, so we'll pray for them too. We also pray for those celebrating anniversaries, including Blake and Maren McPeak celebrating 27 years of marriage, and Leon and Gail Raglan celebrating 33 years of marriage. We pray for those celebrating birthdays, and also include a special prayer for the new members who will be received in the second service today. We pray the prayer of the church. Jesus, light of the world, continue to shine on us and in us through your word. Let us be ever thankful for your full forgiveness and motivate us to shine the light of your glory in all we do. Bless our efforts here at St. Mark's and the efforts of those in Christian congregations worldwide so that your grace may be revealed to all. Continue to show mercy to all of those who are suffering from injury or illness. Comfort them with your love shown in their Savior, and give them the strength they need to be good examples of how your love can shine through the difficulties of this life. Holy Spirit, strengthen the love of all married people. Motivated by word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a continued dedication to be loving companions for each other. Dear Lord, we know that you bless us each and every day. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them the chance to see your grace and reflect that same grace to everyone around them. Father, pour your blessings on the new members here at St. Mark's. Enlighten their hearts with the message of Christ and motivate us all to celebrate the fellowship we share together. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 569. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1 and 5. Good morning. It's a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. Just a few announcements for you. We have Sunday school and Bible classes starting up again today, so a new offering of Bible classes. There will be Christian decision-making, I believe, here in the sanctuary. There will be the book of Zechariah in the gym. There it is. And the teen group with Noah Lederman in the teen room. Also Sunday school as well. So that's happening this morning. A few things for this coming week. Help with the Christmas tree takedown will happen on this Saturday, January 13th at 10 a.m. If you are able-bodied and you want to help take down the Christmas trees, it's a lot that goes into it. So if we could use your help. So Saturday at 10 a.m. for that. This Thursday starts a new Bible class called Summary of Christian Doctrine. If you haven't heard the summary of the Summary of Christian Doctrine yet, it's basically a 301 to the 101 that is Bible Information Class, the 201 that is in between services. So that's this Thursday. It starts at 6:30 p.m. That's once a month on a Thursday evening. The next Bible Information Class, speaking of that, will begin January 21st. Again, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. We'll take a few Sundays off here and there for various things. But if you have anybody that you know or if you yourself wanted to take it, whether you were interested in membership here or maybe you're a member, a longtime member, you want to get refreshed. We had about half people in our class last time were members. And you never hear a bad thing for a member retaking this class. So we invite everyone to come for that. So that's January 21st, 5 p.m. We're going to have those in the chapel. If you have any contact information updates, or if the church doesn't have your email address, and if you've had an address change, a phone number change, anything, let us know so that we can get in contact with you and stay in communication. So that's, I guess, email Carolyn for something like that, and Carolyn will update the system. We've got directories coming out soon. Also, there will be a new member welcome after the second service. I know this is first service, but if you wanted to take a little break after Bible study and come back and meet the new members, I'm not sure how many we're going to have today, maybe somewhere between 10 and 20 new members, so including some kids. So come say hi, share some cake. If nothing, come for the cake. Okay. So that'll happen about 11:45 noon, right around there, over in the gym. For all of the other announcements, please see the weekly update. God bless you as you shine His light with others. And now please stick around and do so to greet one another. I'm getting a... Oh, it's Mission Box Offering Sunday, so the pink box is back there. Keep that on your minds and hearts as well. Thank you very much, Ellie. God bless you. Please stick around and greet one another.